Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews in Southern California battling the mountain fire that's destroyed more than 80 homes in Ventura County. Officials say it is 0% contained and red flag warnings are in place. Offshore Santa Ana winds could gust up to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. President Biden assuring Americans that the electoral process works and is transparent, saying his administration accepts the victory of Donald Trump and his administration will work to make sure there's a peaceful transfer of power. Here's ABC. Karen Travers.
The president was trying to make a point there that this is going to be very different than what we saw 4 years ago, and how the Trump team did not make it easy for the Biden-Harris team to come into the White House. He is certainly going to great lengths there in that speech to say that they're going to do it differently.
President-elect Trump and his team working on staffing his second term and his agenda at his Florida estate. Republicans also gained control of the Senate. More than 30 House races still undecided. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has officially won a third term in Washington. Senator Baldwin declared victory early Wednesday, while results showed she had a lead of less than 1%, which could lead to a recount. After the race was called by the Associated Press, Republican challenger Eric Hovde did not concede or say if he would be requesting a recount within the 1% margin. In narrowly winning re-election, Senator Baldwin kept a critical Senate seat for Democrats, while former President Trump won the state. Wisconsin residents voted to pass a constitutional amendment stating that only United States citizens can vote in elections. The amendment slightly changes the language used in current law, making it only a United States citizen instead of every United States citizen. Republicans across the country have pushed similar measures to prevent non-citizens from voting, which is already illegal. A handful of municipalities across the country allow non-citizens to vote in some local elections, like a school board. None are in Wisconsin. A Superior man has been arrested in connection to multiple attempted carjackings, one of which involved a young child. According to law enforcement authorities, 37-year-old Michael Thompson is accused of attacking the owner of a car in the Tower Avenue and North 28th Street area last week and trying to take their keys with their child in the car. Officials say two bystanders saw the incident and stepped in until police arrived. Thompson was treated for injuries he sustained during the incident and was taken to jail. He's due in court next week. The city of Ashland will finally receive state funding for a boat launch project after applying for the program multiple times. After the city and other municipalities' applications were rejected for the program, Governor Tony Evers sued lawmakers to force the release of the funding. When the state Supreme Court ruled efforts to block the conservation projects were unconstitutional, Ashland applied again and received about $1 million from the Department of Natural Resources to construct an ADA-compliant deep-water boat launch at Crerar Park. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Bucks and the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Utah Jazz face off tonight in Milwaukee. Both teams struggling with 1-6 records. Is there pressure to finally snap this 6-game losing streak? Doc Rivers.
No, this is a positive group. Like, we believe we're a really good basketball team that has played poorly. You know, last two games, you can say we played well and lost the games.
The Boys and Girls State High School Volleyball Tournament is underway in Green Bay. The boys' final for the state title is tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday night for the girls. NFL linebacker Preston Smith on why the Packers traded him to the Steelers.
To be honest, a few weeks ago, I requested a trade. I didn't feel like I was being useful in the system, and it wasn't catering to my play style. And moving forward, like, I wasn't surprised when I got the call. It's like, you know, I got what I asked for, and I'm at a great place with some great teammates, and, you know, I'm excited for the new start, and I'm excited for the rest of this journey for this season.
That's Steelers linebacker Preston Smith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A happy high-pressure system settles in today, clearing those clouds and allowing the sun to shine bright. High temperatures will reach the low 50s today with a southwest breeze. Then tonight, we fall crisp to near freezing. And for tomorrow, a warm-up. Under abundant sunshine, we reach the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, who we'll talk movies with, and he'll help make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Thursday, November 7th, 2024. Glad to have you along with us here as we continue on in hour number two, taking more of your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. On the election results, possibly what happens next. And also going to have more cuts from President Joe Biden as he addressed Americans this morning, saying that he accepted the election results. Donald Trump, remember, won not only in the Electoral College, but has won the popular vote by at least 5 million votes. Arizona and Nevada have yet to be final counts on those. President Harris yesterday at Howard University said she too accepted the results, congratulated Trump on the win, encouraged a peaceful transition of power, but said she will not surrender what she campaigned for, which I believe is appropriate. President Biden saying much the same thing today from the Rose Garden. Here's what Joe Biden, by the way, had to say on President Harris, pardon me, Vice President Harris, who was running to be president. Here are Biden's remarks on Harris from this morning.
Yesterday, I also spoke with Vice President Harris. She's been a partner and a public servant. She ran an inspiring campaign, and everyone got to see something that I learned early on to respect so much, her character. She has a backbone like a ramrod. She has great character, true character. She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran.
President Biden this morning on Vice President Harris. Also talked about talking with now President-elect Donald Trump yesterday. Here's Biden on his call with Trump.
For over 200 years, America has carried on the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. And that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails. Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition. That's what the American people deserve.
President Biden on his call now, President-elect Trump. Got more cuts from him, from his comments this morning, a little bit later in the show. Right now, I want to go back to your calls. Lots of great calls. Lots of great texts. This is good dialogue. Listening to one another. Being honest, upfront. Being respectful. I want to go back to a comment here off of YouTube. Tom, watching on YouTube, saying Eisenhower, former President Republican Eisenhower, taxed people 70%, 70%. over $3 million. Tax people 70%. And we've talked about that. We've talked about the last segment. Look, I want to make this really clear. I'm in favor of people paying their fair share of taxes. I believe that ultra rich people are getting out of paying their fair share. We've had members of the Patriotic Millionaires on this show, as our friend Maggie Dawn has. And I think in these interviews on this network, we've made that clear. I hope. Maybe not. But I think Democrats, candidates, did not make that clear entirely. You can't just say, in my opinion, oh, tax the rich, everything will be fine. Because everyone has a perception of what rich is. If you're working at a retail place making $18,000 a year, rich to you is someone who makes $50,000. If you're making $50,000 a year, rich to you is somebody who makes $250,000. You see where we're going? So let's take the comments from Tom. Eisenhower taxed people 70%. That was over 3 million. Anybody who made over 3 million. Okay? Eisenhower was president in 1955. So let's take $3 million from 1955 and use the CPI inflation calculator. You want to know how much $3 million from 1955 is in 2024 dollars? $35,294,888.06. So if you say, well, we're just going to do what Eisenhower did. Anybody over $3 million gets taxed to the hilt. You would have to only tax people that make $35 million plus to get to what Eisenhower did. And I'm fine with that, by the way.
That sounds pretty dang reasonable right to me.
But you see where the disconnect in the messaging is? Because, again, there is a great book. I think he's been on somebody's show on this network. I want to have him on. All right? It's called... I'm sorry, it's not a man. I believe it's a woman. It's Land Rich, Cash Poor. Brian Ressinger. I apologize. Maybe it is. I'm sorry. I know of the book. And I read a couple of excerpts. Land Rich, Cash Poor. And it talks about Wisconsin farming families. And believe me, as someone who grew up, who lost my family farm, that farm that I no longer have would be worth over $1 million in land. There are all kinds of people in farming and agriculture who are land rich on paper, but they're trying to make their bills month to month. So the narrative is tax the rich because you own $5 million in land. That doesn't sit well with people. You have to be clear. You have to say, what we're talking about are those folks who are making more than $25 million a year in profit. You see the difference? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Steve in Madison on WMDX. Steve, thanks for listening. Let's say you. Steve, are you there in Madison?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, go ahead, Steve. You're on the air. What do you got?
Well, I was born in 1946 at the end of fascism. And right now, the way I look at it, we got new fascism coming with 2025. Mm-hmm. But we got to fight it. We can't stand it.
Agreed.
I remember when senators used to come in during this campaign season, and sometimes not, they'd sit at the entrance of factories, and I shook Proxmire's hand.
Yep.
And all those. And that's the way it was run back then. It can't all be money.
Right. I totally agree. This is a great point, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it can't all be money. I mean, the Harris people did such a wonderful job.
They did.
You know, I live in a condo, and I actually talked to four of them, which they never knock on our doors. And that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And one actually... He had a Harris shirt on, and I said, well, I'd like to get a Harris shirt. Where can I get them? Mm-hmm. And he says, just a second. He took his shirt off, his long sleeve, which was blue. He took off his Harris white shirt, handed it to me, and says, you can wash it, and it's all yours.
Wow, that's cool.
Never has anybody come to my door and said that.
Right.
So I was totally impressed. And that's what I got to say.
Great call, Steve. Really, really appreciate it. Well, Steve, a lot of people won't remember former Democratic U.S. Senator Bill Proxmire, who back in the day would go to every coffee shop. When he'd go campaign into a new town, he went to the barber shop to get his hair cut. Basically had the shortest hair in Wisconsin because he'd get his hair cut twice a week. What he was doing is he wanted to know what real people were talking about. Then when he went to the Doors or to the Lions Club or the Optimist, he knew what to talk about. Now, there was no Twitter or internet or Instagram or whatever back then. And politicians did it on both sides of the aisle. They'd go to one community and say one thing, go to another and say another thing because nobody knew what you said if there's no reporter there. I'm not saying Proxmire did that all the time, but I'm just saying that was the era. So one of the keys is that Tom has hit on, what is the 2024 equivalent of Proxmire? That is partly podcasts. It's social media. It's digital. Getting into those venues and listening to what people are talking about in those ecosystems, and then not placating them, just don't talk about telling what they want to hear and not mean it, but where can you find common ground? Got to be smart. 855-752-4842. Where are we going to next? Dick in Madison on WMDX. Dick, if you can be quick, go ahead. Dick, you got to turn down your phone, my friend. We'll come back. Dick, keep your phone down, and then we'll come back to you. Oh, let's go to Allie in Madison. Allie, what do you got?
Oh, hi. I want to respond to Dan from Green Bay. His first statement was that Trump didn't try to be a dictator in his look at January 6th. I think he did try to be a dictator, and you didn't comment back to him, but I am, and I think he did try to be a dictator. Okay, my second point, because you want us to be quick, is about half the people now are frustrated and sick to their stomach that Trump is president, going to be president. Well, I say in 2 years, you're going to have most of the country frustrated and sick to their stomach from the future effect of whatever he does.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it.
Appreciate it, Allie. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Bill in Madison. Bill on WMDX. My friend, if you can be quick, go ahead, please.
Sure, I can. I just like the explanation for how Biden, who has preserved or has taken an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution, is going to be able to hand over office to a man who has committed sedition when the 14th Amendment says you cannot have a man who commits sedition in office, and also how he can preserve and protect the Constitution when the man has stated he wants to be a dictator.
So what would your recommendation or solution be if you were in the Oval Office with him?
He can't be seated. You just say,
So you ignore the election results like Trump did.
Not ignore the election. You have to, if they were, the Republicans ran a guy who was a seditionist for office.
Right.
And if he's disqualified, what are you supposed to do? The Constitution is clear as day. You cannot have a seditionist take office.
Okay. In my opinion, he probably should have appointed somebody stronger than Merrick Garland in the Attorney General's office and taken care of it quicker. But again, you have to work with what you have to work with. Biden, in my opinion, doing what you just said, Bill, that's as egregious as what Trump did. There was a free and fair election. It went through the courts to some degree. The courts allowed Trump to run. I don't agree with it. Obviously, you don't. But because we don't agree with it doesn't mean we can't follow the law. 855-752-4842. Back after this. It's the All Ball Show on a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own, Dobie Maxwell, joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabe, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the?
You got Amish.
Experience.
Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Thursday, November 7th, as we roll on here. Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate the dialogue. That's what this show should be about. Openness. Talking respectfully to one another. Off the YouTube text line, Tony listening in saying people are all aware of Trump's quote-unquote resume and picked him. No way you can refuse to make him president. Agree with Todd, unquote. Appreciate that, Tony. I agree with Tony. I agree with Tony who agrees with me. Imagine that. I'm trying to be as understanding as I can. I get the anger and frustration, but we still have to follow the Constitution. Steven, watching on YouTube, says, when working Americans voted for Democrats, we were the backbone of America. Saints of small town virtue. When we didn't, we are now misogynist deplorables who are garbage. This is on you, unquote. I'm not sure if it means me personally or other people. Look, I think that Stephen, again, is getting to a good point. And that is we have to listen to the rhetoric in which our campaigns try to interact with the voters they want to get. And when I say we, I guess I'm talking the general we. I'm not a member of any political party. I left the Republican Party in 2011. I've voted Democratic since then because I feel that they most align with my views. But I don't join the Democratic Party because I don't feel they align with enough of or the majority of my views. It's an important point that how you talk to people. Do I believe that Project 2025 is a real thing and a threat to American democracy? Yes. We see that already with what they're saying. They're taking pages literally out of Project 2025, the Trump transition team, essentially looking to eliminate or drastically reduce the power of the Food and Drug Administration, getting rid of fluoride in our water, getting rid of or dramatically reducing vaccines for our kids. So it's hard, I think, in my opinion, for people to say, well, that's not real. Well, they're talking about it. I'm not talking about it. They're talking about it already. Do I think that elements of Trump are fascist in nature? Yes. I'm not going to back away. If I were to now say, oh, I think everything's going to be fine, then that would mean that I was not being honest with you for the last 6 months. I am fearful. I am concerned. But I'm also a realist and pragmatist. I still believe that American democracy can win out because I think somebody else on this line texted in. I think when voters, some of whom voted for Trump this time, when they see what's going to come in a Trump 2.0, I think there will be a day when they wake up and say, what the hell did I just do? But that doesn't mean we can prevent it from happening. Paul Tsongas, name some people will remember. His last name started with a T. It was silent. Paul Tsongas was an American politician, a U.S. senator from Massachusetts, Democrat, ran for president in 1992. Why don't a lot of people remember him? Because he was beat out by another guy. Paul Tsongas is the quintessential politician, a polite man, a well-groomed man, an educated man. And a great story. I credit it. I can't remember where I read it. It was in a book. 1992, Paul Tsongas showed up at the set of Good Morning America. There's a green room. That's where people sit before they come on air. And there's all kinds of donuts and coffee and tea. And Tsongas asked one of the staffers, may I have one of those donuts, please? And they said, well, yeah, that's what they're for. Go ahead. He had one staffer with him. And he was going on to talk about his presidential bid in the primary. And it's just before he went on the air, another guy who was running for president came in the room with an entourage of five or six people, lit up the room when he came in, grabbed one of the donuts, didn't even ask, said, how y'all doing? It was Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas. Bill Clinton won because he had that energy that lit up a room. And he had an ego. And here's what I've learned as a two-time failed candidate for assembly in a primary. I'm pretty good at running campaigns. I'm really bad at being the candidate because I'm a pleaser. I'm just naturally a pleaser. I'm happiest when other people are happy. And I know I need therapy for this, but I'm also happiest when I know that I help make other people happy. Bill Clinton didn't give a crap about whether he made other people happy or not. He was there to get it done. And he won, not just the primary, but the general election. George W. Bush, he wanted to get it done. Al Gore talked about lockboxes and policy. Barack Obama was one of the best orators of our time, knew basketball, college, NBA, like the back of his hand. He was in Americans' ethos. Went up against one of the greatest war heroes of our time, John McCain, a boring white cracker guy. And America chose the more energetic, in touch Barack Obama. You see where I'm going with this? People oftentimes don't give a crap about the policy. They vote for who they think is going to make them safer, who is going to make them a better life. I'm sorry, but it's true. Who do you want to have a beer with? I would never want to have a beer with Donald Trump. But for a certain segment of males, both black, white, and Hispanic, they thought that Trump was better than Harris. For me, I wanted to vote for a joyful candidate. I wanted to vote for somebody who's going to make me feel better. I will admit this to you. I apologize because I lost my way in my political radar. I had it in 2016 when I ran my own business and people were coming into Madison laughing, saying, oh, I'm voting for Jill Stein because there's no way that Hillary's going to lose, but I want to have a protest vote. I said, look, I'm in Richland Center all the time. She could win or she could lose. Trump could win. Looking back with 2020 vision, I can see now those same signs in 2020. I ignored it because I allowed my view, my people, I guess, I don't know, the environment that I'm in, I wanted her to win so bad that I allowed my spidey political senses to be numbed. And Trump is deplorable. What he says, how he treats women, how he treats minority, the list goes on and on. But it turned out none of that mattered to the majority of Americans because they wanted to feel like they were voting for a fighter. It might not make sense, but that's the cold, hard reality. Back after this is the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Despite a few hiccups like needing to recount 30,000 ballots in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Election Commission says Tuesday's election was safe and secure with no major issues reported. On Wednesday, WEC officials reminded residents that the election is technically not over, as the official results still need to be verified and certified through the canvassing process. The numbers residents see now are unofficial results with votes that have been counted but not verified and certified. The deadline for the chairperson to certify the election is December 1st. Tuesday's election saw the highest number of voters in Wisconsin state history. According to the unofficial results, about 3.4 million people cast a ballot in the 2024 presidential race. That's equivalent to about 72.6% of eligible voters in the state, which is also one of the highest voter participation rates in state history. About 30,000 fewer people voted in the Senate race between Senator Tammy Baldwin, who won re-election, and her Republican challenger Eric Hovde. The final official numbers will be released on December 1st. Superior residents voted to approve a referendum allowing the school district to exceed its revenue limits for the next 5 years. The referendum asked Superior residents to pay extra in property taxes for the next 5 years to prevent the district from having to make further cuts. The district has been forced to permanently close the school and lay off over 50 staff members in the last year due to their budget issues. The referendum approves a sliding scale of increases, starting at $2.5 million for the next 2 years and $5.5 million in the final year. The Duluth Police Department is searching for a suspect they say was involved in two violent home invasions in the area. According to law enforcement authorities, the first incident happened on Monday in the Chester Park neighborhood. The second happened on Tuesday in the Congdon neighborhood, just a few miles away. Authorities say they don't have many details about the suspect, except that he is a white man. Duluth Police Chief Mike Sanua says three people were sent to the hospital with minor injuries after the suspect entered their homes. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for some post-election escapism, check out Apple TV's Slow Horses. The show follows a bunch of ragtag disgraced MI5 operatives led by Gary Oldman. Oldman is a disgusting, disheveled, gaseous curmudgeon, but a very nuanced character. I'm late to the party myself, having just gotten halfway through season one, but it is very entertaining, and I love when I find a show where I have multiple seasons ahead of me for some serious TV binge watching. Over the last few years, people have been talking about films as content. That's a filthy word. It's not content, it's bleeping work. Those are the words of Paul Mescal, the star of Gladiator 2. Mescal says he does not like when the artistry of good cinema and movie making, which takes time and effort and lots of patience, is compared to an Instagram post. I don't totally disagree, but you can judge for yourself as Gladiator 2 opens November 15th. Unlike with social media content, you will need an attention span. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A happy high-pressure system settles in today, clearing those clouds and allowing the sun to shine bright. High temperatures will reach the low 50s today with a southwest breeze. Then tonight, we fall crisp to near freezing. And for tomorrow, a warm-up. Under abundant sunshine, we reach the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Badger fans, the final home matchup at Camp Randall Stadium is just around the corner, and it's a big one. This Black Friday, Badger football takes on Minnesota in a battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great tickets remain for the border battle matchup, but they're going fast. Don't miss out on your chance to be in the stands. Secure your seats for November 29th. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Don't wait. Get your spot today.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads in a long time, plus Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Light a candle. Pull up. for some meditation with Todd. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. Welcome back to the show. Thank you. That's Aaron Zomer's way of saying, I'm not going to let you get off the rails. We're gonna do this bit. Well done. Well done. And you know what? I was gonna do like a minute of something else, but that music has forced me to go right into it. So well done.
All right, excellent. All right.
Well done. I like that. I have more thoughts. We'll come back to them maybe at the end of the program. Just hang on. All right, this is really good, I think. We've touched on this. We've never gotten through the entire thing, but I think it's really important. And maybe you're right, Zombers. Maybe I need a little of this myself today. So clinical psychologist, and I hope I don't butcher the name too bad, clinical psychologist Shannon Sauer-Zavala offers us a few science-backed strategies to rein in our stress about the election. It's baked into being a human that uncertainty causes anxiety. And with this election, there's lots of ingredients for that on the list, certainly. So Sauer-Zavala recommends the following. Number one, being mindful. We hear that term a lot. What does that really mean? Well, if you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute to be aware of yourself. Your mind and your body, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. I had a friend of mine for a long time who was into this a lot. And at first I was like, really? And then I'm like, yeah. And I still have friends who are into it. And it doesn't have to be in a yoga pose or a yoga mat, although it can be. You don't have to light a candle, although you can. You don't have to put meditation music on like Zomers did, but you can. But it's about, you can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Or you could do it at work in a corner, even in the bathroom for 2 minutes. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out. Just breathing techniques. And if you think it's not quote unquote manly, there are a lot of NFL professional sports players who will tell you that they do this now all the time, and it helps them focus and be better athletes. So try this. There are ways that just taking a walk. Somebody, we talk about this on the show all the time. Get outside, put your device down. And don't worry about what happened 5 minutes ago. Don't worry about what's going to happen next hour. Just be in the present. Get out in nature. Leave your earbuds at home, please. Listen to the wind, the birds. Go outside if you're in an urban area, get out at night and look up and you're like, holy crap, look at all those stars. Just be mindful.
Can I add one thing to that?
Please.
One specific part of mindfulness that I've tried. So my trombone professor in college taught us about this. It wasn't some weird mystical routine or ritual. It was just, nope, we're in trombone studio. We're all going to sit down and focus on our bodies for a minute. Try tensing up your body and then releasing the tension. And remember what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to, if you do this often enough, you can start to notice when you're tensing up unconsciously and release it. And that is tremendously helpful.
That's excellent. That's an excellent tip, Zomers. Well done. It says here, one very common mindfulness technique is to focus your mind on only one thing, your breathing. As I just said, track it every second to the when you exhale and all other thoughts go out with it. All right, that's very good. Mindfulness. Number two, be a gentle critic of yourself. Be non-judgmental. Don't beat yourself up thinking that you're overreacting or being weak. Making judgments about your emotions makes you just feel worse and piles on anxiety. Instead, let go of the ifs. What ifs? Remember that the letters in the word fear, F-E-A-R, stand for false events appearing real. Let me say that again. Fear, F-E-A-R, stands for false events appearing real. Yes, there are real concerns, obviously. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Come back to the present. Number three. Don't dwell on worst case scenarios. I think this is really important today. I'm trying to be understanding. Look, I have fear too. I mean, I don't mean to belabor this, but yeah, so I happen to be a gay man. Happen to be a white gay man. The prospects for the next 4 years for gay men are not great. Let's be honest. But rather than focusing on the very worst thing that could possibly happen to me or my community or other people who are vulnerable, when things don't go our way, we deal with it one step at a time. We'll all cope with it one day, 1 week, maybe 1 hour at a time. Control what you can control. We as individuals can't suddenly undo this election. Not possible. People have voted. It's been certified. Won the popular vote, won the electoral vote. But take it one day at a time. What can you do to control things at your work, with your family, getting outside? Let's not dwell on the absolute worst case scenario. We won't have to move to another country, at least most of us. We'll not lose our rights to speak and act in protest to events one at a time. Are there concerns about that? Absolutely. Are those well-founded concerns? Absolutely. But if we think of all of this all at once, we're just going to get overwhelmed. We're going to be way emotional and not be able to focus on the things we have to do in our daily lives to keep going and moving forward. Number four, put down your phone and turn off the TV, even the radio, if that is what it takes for your self-care needs. Forget about the fear parts of this. Forget about the FOMO, the FOMO. You know what that is, Zomers?
Fear of missing out.
Well done. Look at that. The young person knows. It's a real thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got to look at my phone. I'm going to miss something.
Yeah, the same thing with like collectible items. Like there's only so many. Get right. It before it sells out.
It's a great advertising technique.
Because it works.
It works. You'll catch up soon enough. If it's important, someone will text you. I need to think about this one for myself. Put down the phone and turn off the TV, even the radio, if that's what it takes for self-care needs. Get outside, as we keep saying. Get outside. Go for a walk. Exercise. Make that phone call that you've been thinking about. Your well-being is priority one. In the last 48 hours, I have made calls and texted friends and family that I care about and love. Not all of them yet. But just like retouching base with some of these people. Again, our relationships, the people that we love, are real and foundational. And the results of yesterday or Tuesday's election does not change that. The people that love us still love us. The people that we love, we still love them. We need to be grounded in these times. Emotional rage and fear and anger and just shooting off the hip, that does not serve any of us, including myself, well. I talked about this with Zomers before we went on the phone today. There have been, by the way, we're approaching our 2-year anniversary, Zomers.
Yeah, less than a week, or a week exactly.
A week today. We'll be on the air. Our show will be a 2 years old a week from today. I have done a couple of shows where I've been too emotional. I probably should not have gone on the air. I realized that. And that's why after this election, I have tried to really focus on some of these tips I've given you today. Doesn't mean I don't care. Doesn't mean I'm not fearful. Doesn't mean I don't have all these emotions and feel all these things. But coming behind this microphone every day is a privilege. And it doesn't do you or anybody else any good if I bring my emotional baggage in here and just start going off. I'm about trying to find solutions. I'm chuckling because my former boss, Dale Schultz, somebody would call up or I don't know, a Billy wanted past wasn't doing well. And we'd say, Dale, you know, what, this is what's going on. What do you want us to do? And he'd look at us and say, don't bring me problems. Bring me solutions. I've never forgotten that. And you know what? He's right. We have to find solutions. And part of finding solutions is a little self-examination. It's not going to hurt any of us, including myself. how I conduct this show, how folks in politics message. This was not some sort of a freak accident win, whether we like to admit that or not. Trump won and won big. Republicans won and won big. The question is, why is that? And where I was going to go, coming back out of break, is there's a lot of well-intentioned and wonderful people texting in today. But I believe there's a lot of the anger is pointed outside the tent. I worked in politics for 30 years. I've lost races as a campaign manager. I lost my own two on the ballot. I know what it's like to lose. And part of that in losing is self-examining after. And one of the questions that Democrats and the Democratic Party has to address is, why did we lose 15 to 20 million voters compared to 4 years ago? Was that over the Palestinian-Gaza issue? Was that over people at our own party, black men, who didn't want to vote for a woman? Why is that? Are they business people who said we feel like we're beat up on? We have to be big enough as a society when things don't go our way to not always blame the other person. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Sussex. Gary, who's been waiting patiently. Gary, I appreciate holding. What say you?
Hello?
Gary, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Todd?
Yes, sir. That's what they call me.
Todd, it's Gary.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, you know, I'm 72 years old. I've gone through a lot of elections, win and lose. I make it through. Young people today have to realize that you're going to make it through the next day. You're going to make it through the next year. You know, you break up, you know, teenage kids, they break up their boyfriend, their girlfriend, they think it's the end of the world, you know?
Mm.
And you find out, you end up marrying a few years later, you find this beautiful wife like I have, been married for 51 years, and I thank God for unanswered prayers, you know, that I was praying, oh, God, don't let me break up this girl. Don't let her, you know, and then all of a sudden he introduces my wife to me, and 51 years later, we're still happily married. So the fact is, you know, I'm glad we won. I'm glad that, you know, Kamala Harris did not get in there, but I am not stomping on your grave. I won't do that because that's not me, okay? But I blame the media on a lot of this stuff, not telling you guys the truth, which us Republicans knew what was going on with Joe Biden for 2 years. We saw him tripping and making all these gaffes and everything like that and that stuff. And then instead of you guys picking the wrong candidate, they picked the candidate for you. You had no choice. All the Democrats had no choice on which candidate. These elites, Obama, Pelosi, these big donors, they picked your candidate for you. You know, I think that you could have had a better. I think Gavin Newsom would have been a good candidate, and I think he would have won. I really do.
That's a really interesting point. I think Gavin Newsom is enormously talented as an orator and done some good things in California, but they also have a huge homeless problem. I think there are other economic issues that California is in that would have come out in a general election campaign. That's just my take on it. I think first of all, let me just state this. I do believe that the Vice President Harris was a great candidate and ran a great campaign in 100 days. I think had she had the full time, I think if Joe Biden had not run for re-election and she had a full and actually had a proper primary, which she had to come through, I think she would have could have very well won. History will talk about for years whether Joe Biden should have run for a second term and have it happen the way it is. I mean, that's a legit, you know, thing to bring up. All right, thanks, Gary. We're up against the clock. More of your calls after this as Zomers lights another sage candle. We'll burn some sage. We'll light some sage. We are not having a ayahuasca ceremony.
No, I do share a birthday with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not sharing that with him.
Back after this, we'll wrap it up. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, I've been reading up on the policies of all the presidential candidates with an eye on my wallet. And former President Trump has been talking up a new 20% tax on goods from other countries. It's called a tariff. I did some research, and it's not sounding good for the prices that we pay. A tariff is just a tax that the government charges to businesses when they bring goods into the country. And the National Retail Federation says that tariffs force small businesses to raise prices or just eat those costs. And typically, big corporations just pass those prices on to consumers. The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center says that, quote, Trump's tariffs would significantly raise the prices of imported goods since they'd mostly be passed on to consumers. And I know prices are not rising like they were. I mean, hooray for that. But man, I still can't afford to pay 20% more for things. We will keep you posted on how this develops. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 9 before the hour at 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Jeff Perry, hang on. At the top of the hour, CBS or ABC News, followed by our wonderful friend and colleague, Maggie Dawn. The Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon, 2 until 4. Dominic Selvia from 4 until 6. And then Pete Schwabba with Nightlight.
The Schwabinator.
Oh, is that what they call him now?
I don't know.
Oh, I like that.
I saw it written on the board out here at one point.
I like saying his name, Pete Schwabba. It's like that this morning on CBS this morning, they had the new, the singer has the Shaboozy on CBS this morning.
Bless you.
Thank you very much. Shaboozy is a great song. They play it on No Shoes Radio, Kenny Chesney's channel on Sirius XM, the bar song. Dial a little bit of that up. We'll play that in a second. In fact, we'll go out on that today. We'll use that one today on the way out. Off the Facebook line, Todd from Jeff Perry. Todd, you're sweating like a New York waiter. You know what I am? I am. If only I were as talented as a New York waiter. Those folks are extraordinarily talented. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to beautiful Green Bay. Speaking of talented, our folks, our staff up there at the station, WGBW, so fantastic up there in Green Bay. Denise, calling in to Green Bay. Denise, what say you?
Well, Todd, I just want to share that there are a couple of great things that came out of this election.
Give it to us.
And that is that across the state, 78% of the public school referendums, passed, and they passed overwhelmingly. Mm-hmm. In Green Bay alone, it was over 66% of voters said yes to $183 million in funding, as did DePere, Ashwaubenon, and Kakana, and just to name a few, just in the valley. But this happened in 120 school districts that went to referendum, and 78% of those passed. And they passed overwhelmingly with a real statement to legislators saying, mm-hmm. hey, support public schools, legislators. So free up some of those billions of dollars you have sitting in your coffers for public schools, because we've stepped up as taxpayers to support our schools. So that's great.
Denise, I want to stop there a quick yeah. second. And you were on our show with these great people from Ashwaubenon and DePere last week. You did a great job. And I appreciate you bringing this up.
Thanks.
Because 78%, I didn't know this, thanks for the factoid, 78% of school referendums for public schools passed in this state. Now, I want someone, I would love to see someone, they're probably already doing it, let's do an overlay map of those districts that 78% passed, and I bet you at least half, 50% plus, also went for Trump. And I think the key is why. Because what that says to me is those folks in these local communities care about their local public school, but for whatever reason, at the national level of messaging, that wasn't connected. That's a fascinating factoid.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of concerning to me because one of the big tenets of Project 2025 or, you know, that nightmare is to get rid of the Department of Education, which provides funding and guidelines and really wonderful things to our public schools across the country. So that makes that's a huge disconnect right there. So
and we can learn from that, right? But go ahead.
Yeah. Another piece is. In our newly reconstructed districts in Northeast Wisconsin, we had some wins. You know, Jamie Wall is going to Madison as the state senator from the Green Bay area. And Ryan Stouty is going as a representative. And Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner is going as a representative. And they were all in newly kind of redistrict districts. And so those were some significant wins in Northeast Wisconsin. And that means that there is hope. And for the next Assembly Senate races and to move that even farther.
Denise,
so
I, cannot,
I think
go ahead.
As painful as this is, there are some good things that people in Wisconsin still believe in, and that's their public schools. And having fair maps.
You are amazing. You ended this thing exactly where I wanted to go. You read my mind. And you're absolutely right. There are some great things here out of this election. You named them. And I think we can, again, the key is learning from this. Thank you for that factoid. 78% of public school referendums passed in this state. So you have literally ticket splitters.
And who not vote, just by little margins.
Right. So you have ticket splitters in Wisconsin who voted to spend millions of dollars in the local community for the local public school, but also voted for Trump to get rid of the Department of Education. Why? The key is, why is that? We need to listen to those voters and connect with them. So I think that's amazing. And again, some great wins. And again, in 2 years, the Republicans are going to be on the quote-unquote defensive in the state Senate. And it's a legit shot that could flip. And it's also a legit shot with the progress made in the Assembly that could flip. Imagine what we could do in Wisconsin for public education if Democrats controlled both houses of the legislature and had a Democratic governor like Sarah Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there, by the way. All right, Denise, you're amazing. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful day up there in Green Bay. And thanks for all your help up there, by the way. Denise was the one that got us, James Carville. So thank you for that, Denise. That was an amazing interview.
You're welcome. You take care.
All right. Thank you so much. I think that's a perfect way to end the show. That's a perfect way to end the show because it's positive. And look, today has been great. It's had some dialogue here, some thoughtfulness.
I think it all helps us understand each other a little bit better.
That's exactly right, Summers. Maggie Dawn is next. Stay tuned for her. News, weather, and sports. We'll be back tomorrow with a Friday edition. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. And listen to Shaboozy. Go to the bar. Have a drink. Have a good day. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, what comes next? Former U.S. Attorney James Santel will join me. We'll talk about the fraud sentencing, the J6 trial, the Georgia case, plus the documents case. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.